as we open our hearts and our minds to receive the word. I want to say that in context, we've been talking about fighting forward. And as some of you may recall, we got here because of the word of God and the reference to how Jesus went to go check on a friend that had transitioned, a friend by the name of Lazarus. And as he was sharing with his disciples that we need to go because our friend is sleeping. And he shared with his disciples because they were ignorant as to what sleeping meant and what he meant by what he said when he used that phrase. And he shared with them that I'm really trying to tell you that Lazarus is dead. And knowing that they were going to have to go back to a place where there would be certain death, where there would be a pandemic of unrighteousness, Thomas, fighting Thomas, would say, let us go with him that we may die with him. I'm sure that then, at that time with Thomas, so it is with us right now, that there's so much that we are fighting forward unto, fighting forward through. We certainly acknowledge this morning every person that is on this call. Every household, thank God for my beautiful bride, Lady Chiquita, my beautiful kids, those who are on the call this morning. And we certainly acknowledge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being in our lives. Our hallelujah belongs to him this morning. And we thank him for being in our lives, not just in this moment, but every moment. The moments past and the moment present and the moments to come. It is so easy for us to become distracted with the columns of wins and losses during this time of the year. I'm just so glad that my two teams, hallelujah, fam, you're for the state, both had victories in the city of Tallahassee. But it is during these moments of this season where we have a more of a spotlight on football that we can embrace the moments of praise and worship to acknowledge the Lord Jesus and the victory that we already have in him because he's already won. And in him there is no losses. And in the Lord Jesus, we have found him to be able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us and so even in our weakness. When our health may be failing, when we feel like we're lacking whatever that will make us feel good for the moment, but in that weakness, his strength. Oh, I'm so glad for his strength this morning that is being perfected. His awesome grace, his unmerited favor. And you know, if I was going to fam you, I would describe it as a hookup. Oh, his spiritual hookup this morning that Paul would write in the New Testament is being great. But right now, hallelujah, it is just a good time to just praise him and to just thank him for who he is and for what he has done and for what he is doing to revive us and to restore us and to refresh us in this time and in this season. Living in Tallahassee, you know, you can't fully appreciate the awesomeness of this time of the year, autumn. And we would have to go further northward, get up in to upper Georgia, go to South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, probably up Alabama, to really appreciate that this season right now, in October, we're still in autumn. And because we're in Tallahassee, and for those who are in Gainesville in particular as well, we are not in direct view of the leaves changing and seeing the majestic and the vibrant colors associated with the fall season. You know, during the month of October, and this is a special month for me, y'all. So let me go and give you a little shout out. Let me see what the day is. It is the 3rd, so we got 24 more days before we get to October 27th. Amen. That's my birthday, just to make it more specific, October 27th. What? Hallelujah. And it's always in the month of October that I have these thoughts that are pure thoughts and good thoughts and lovely thoughts and honest report thoughts. And it also reminds me of growing up in October, for all of those who are vintage Church of God by Faith folk, back in the day, in October, we would have our fall gathering. The national church would come together in Sumter, South Carolina, in October. And my father, who we would affectionately refer to in the house as Daddy Matt. You know, he would drive us from Gainesville to Sumter, South Carolina. And as a little boy, it would always blow my mind as we left Florida and got through Georgia and we started getting into South Carolina. And you could see the changes not only to the landscape and to the terrain, but you could see the autumn leaves. You could see the leaves changing. And it always was an oxymoron in my little mind as we traveled to South Carolina that we could see such awesome beauty at that time of the year. And also at the same time, even as a kid, sensed this apprehension that while we were traveling, we were still in the hostile Deep South. Maybe y'all might know what I'm talking about. We were going north, but we wasn't quite so far up north that we couldn't experience some bad things because we were still in the Deep South. But yay, hallelujah, though we drove through the valley of the shadow of death, Spirit of God kept us. And with that Spirit, but we did not fear any evil because God was with us. His rod and his staff, they comforted us. Even while we're driving in the Deep South. So we drove on to the October meeting. We didn't call it meeting. That's for my daughter Sydney because I know that she's quite intelligent, but when we called it meeting, the October meeting in Sumter, South Carolina. And I used to love October because, you know, when we got up there, I can recall the slight nip in the air. It would get cool, a lot more cooler than it was in Gainesville. And it was accompanied by the changing color of the leaves. And it always amazes me to reminisce on those good old days and consider my fascination with the beauty of the leaves, which y'all, in actuality, is a representation of the peaceful and beautiful transition that we are called to experience in this new transformation of life. The leaves of how we used to think, the leaves of where we used to go, the leaves of what we used to eat and what we used to drink and what we used to do and used to be. Those leaves are dying. And in that death, in that transition, hallelujah, we can see the beauty of holiness. There is beauty in the transformational, the transitional process. The autumn leaves, I wish we could just see some right now. The autumn leaves are a reminder that we are moving closer to winter. Just in order to spring forward to a brand new beginning and a brand new life and a life abundantly. Family, we are in the season of autumn, and the Holy Spirit would have us to focus on the beauty of holiness that is in us and all around us as we walk boldly as new creatures in Christ. God, hallelujah. And just like the leaves that have begun to change right now and to fall away because they're falling. The leaves are beautiful, but they're falling. Just like every weight and every sin that can so easily beset us. Oh, if we could just connect with the fact that all of that we used to be is falling away. And if we can just lay aside every weight and every sin that can so easily deter and distract us from running this race even better and not bitter. That's why we're here this morning. Not for a form and a fashion. As I can hear the Spirit say that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't have to see nobody this morning, hallelujah, because I don't even see him. But they who are of the household of faith ought to be able to connect you right now because of the Spirit of God in you to worship the Father who we don't see. Hallelujah. We worship an awesome God this morning. And I keep hearing the word in the spirit of my mind. As written, God, in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, verses 11 through 14. I'm going to read it in a moment. But let me say that, hallelujah, that we don't know who the author is. And there's great debate about who it could be. And it will surprise you. You may want to do some study some days on the book of Hebrews and look at the discussion about, well, who wrote it? You know, and there are many people who are discussed, including Paul himself. But there's also a woman by the name of Priscilla. There's also part of the mix of the discussion about whether or not she actually wrote the book of Hebrews. So I just want to share that for all of my sisters in faith right now. Oh, God. I don't know. Only God knows. But the bottom line is, he has called us as his sons and his daughters. And in him there is no respected person. So as I read, and I read from the New King James Version, verses 11 through verse 14, chapter 12, the book of Hebrews, anonymous author. Now no chastening. Now no chastening. Now no pandemic. Now no illness. Now no COVID-19. Now no Delta. Now no I ain't got enough money in my financial account. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but pain, it don't feel good. It's hurting me right now. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hand which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. So what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed. Oh, my God. Pursue people. Oh, my God. With all people and holiness. Without which no one will see the Lord. And it's verse 14, family, in particular, that resonates with power today and reminds us that we are to pursue. We ought to track it down. We ought to run after peace with all people, anybody and everybody, in our homes and on our jobs and in the classrooms. And while we are shopping, we should pursue peace with all people. And I went and looked at the Greek word. And the Greek word for peace, you know, it actually means prosperity. And in the context of this verse, should be recognized as value added. When we love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, there is value added. There is prosperity. Oh, my God. And when we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, there is value added. And so we're pursuing peace, hallelujah, in the love of God that brings us in harmony, not only with him, but with each other. If we pursue the love of God and if we pursue the love of each other, we will know peace. We will know prosperity. In fact, the word says, that when our way please the Father, he will make even our enemies, hallelujah. I don't know who your enemies are right now, but you know them, hallelujah. When our ways please the Father, he will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. Not that we're going to make them be at peace with us, but he will make our enemies to be at peace with us. I believe this is one of the reasons why David could say in such a profound way when he wrote it, as recorded in Psalm 23, that the Father, oh my God, Lord Jehovah, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Yes, our God prepares a table, hallelujah, for us in the presence of, hallelujah, our enemies. I'm not telling you that they ain't there and that they don't exist. I'm just saying, sit down, sir, and have a good meal and enjoy the feast of the Lord while it's going on. We could be confused this morning. At least I can. Really appreciate this word peace. And see, peace ain't the state. It ain't the reality that I don't have any enemies. That's not what peace is about. Peace is the reality that God can put our enemies in check if we are operating in his perfect will. Peace don't mean that we won't be thrown in the fiery furnace. It just means that when we are thrown in there, oh my God, I see another standing with them that appears, hallelujah, to be the Son of Man. Peace doesn't mean that all of us will escape the transition of death. It just means for us who abide in Christ that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our peace, the God Almighty, our prosperity is in knowing that they hallelujah, that seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Oh, my God. He will add all things that we perceive that we are lacking if we just pursue peace, our peace. And I'm just talking to the ecclesia because this is only something that you can grasp when you are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. It's beyond our thinking and our comprehension. But our peace, body of Christ, is knowing that it is impossible to please God without faith. And that anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he is. And that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So as we seek him, we are pursuing peace. So we pursue peace with all people. And yes, we ought to pursue, track down, and run after holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. The word holiness reflects the sanctification of God. Holiness reflects the sanctification of God, which is deposited and imputed unto us by grace and through faith. It ain't something that we can do for ourselves because we're saved not by our works, lest any of us should boast about what we were able to do. But we know even right now, on our best day, that our righteousness is nothing more than filthy rags. So we have this holiness that is deposited and imputed unto us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean that we are sinless. No. That's not what holiness is. We thought that. We were taught that 99 and a half won't do. Hallelujah. But this, hallelujah, holiness that we have, it comes by grace and through faith because we have confessed him, Lord Jesus, who is sinless, as the Lord of Allah. Let me lighten the burden. Hallelujah. For those of us who have been indoctrinated for too long, those who have heard it say in the past, 99 and a half won't do. It reminds us that we sometimes we forget about the word. We sing the song, which is at odds with the word, because the word says that we have all sinned. I think all means all. I don't think you could change it up. You know, you look at the Greek, all means all. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we don't have to continue to sin. That grace may abound. We can move on and we can fight forward unto peace and holiness. We are called to embrace the beauty of holiness that comes through the sanctification as we are baptized each and every moment during our times of refreshing and renewal in Christ Jesus. Holiness and sanctification, it ain't deep. People live their lives out in holiness and in sanctification. Every day, hallelujah, even in marriage, hallelujah, that provides a wonderful example in holy matrimony. We see it, a man and a woman, they vow to each other to separate themselves. They separate themselves, forsaking all others, including their families, to what? To cleave to each other and unite with each other to become one. The twain shall become one. It ain't deep. pulling this any deep. And those who are a part of the body of Christ, we have voluntarily separated ourselves from unhealthy things. The unclean, clean. The things that destroy the purity of our personal relationship that God always intended for us to have, even at the very beginning. And one day, hallelujah, because Christ is soon to come, hallelujah, oh, the groom is coming back, hallelujah. Oh, the bridegroom is coming back, hallelujah. The Lord Jesus is coming for his bride, the living church and the body of Christ, the living groom. Oh, God, thank you, Dr. Hepburn. The living groom is coming back for a living church without spot and without wrinkle. I hope that I have with me this morning a living church. Who knows? A living room, family, sanctification, holiness. It's a process. And it ain't deep. Hallelujah again. It ain't deep. It's just like having our cars washed. It's a process. It's like washing our hair. It's a process. It's like washing our toes. It's a process. It's like washing the food and the vegetables that we buy at the store. Oh, it's a process. And there ain't nothing bad about our cars. There ain't nothing bad about our hair or our clothes or the food that we eat. But in the throes of life, all of those things quite naturally need to be washed to make them better. Hallelujah. And not because they are bitter. It is the sanctification that is evident in the washing of our minds to be cleansed of all negative thoughts, all self-destructive thoughts by the renewing and transformation of our minds in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. I heard the preacher, Elder Bobby. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. To receive the baptism, hallelujah, of the Holy Ghost, so that the Comforter can lead us out of deception and sanctify us. Oh my God, sanctify us, Holy Spirit, into all truth, the truth that is in Christ Jesus. It is, family. It is the sanctification that can embrace the beautiful and necessary falling away that comes with the season of autumn, with the mindset that all of this must take place just in order to reap the harvest to come after the end of next summer. To get to next year's harvest, we have to go through autumn, and then we've got to go through winter so we can sow in the spring and then reap, hallelujah, if you don't think, reap again the fall crops to come. Weeping, hallelujah, may endure, hallelujah, for a night, but joy, hallelujah, oh, joy is coming in the morning. It's a new season, family, and the Holy Spirit is encouraging me. And I want to encourage you to fight forward unto a new season of peace. Oh, a new season of holiness. No more, hallelujah, excuses. Just holiness. Hallelujah. I believe that the Spirit of God is leading us to this season of peace and holiness. But we can only get there if that's where we truly want to be. I know people, you probably do too. I know people who thrive on chaos. They love to stir up confusion and conflict. I hope that ain't people I'm talking about on this line, but maybe, hallelujah. Pray for us and we'll pray for you. Hallelujah. We know people, I'm sure. Hallelujah. No condemnation. hallelujah, just making a light moment out of y'all, that we know people that just blow things up because that's their own particular nature. But family, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, whatever a woman sows, whatever we sow, that shall also we reap. So this morning, are we sowing the seeds to pursue peace? Are we sowing seeds to pursue holiness? The writer, hallelujah, the anonymous writer of the Hebrews, understood that the definition of peace was not the absence of challenging circumstances. That's not it. But I believe that the writer understood that what came with those challenging circumstances was the boldness and the integrity and the courage to not allow those circumstances to define us, to restrict us, to limit us, and to move us out of the perfect will of God. Verse 11 says this, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it, yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. There is purpose in the pain. There is purpose in the pain. Are you hearing this with me? There is purpose in the pain that yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. In a gym, we would say, no pain, no gain, knowing that the resistance of the weights will build our strength on the inside, and will build our physique on the outside. Think about that. As we continue to even resist the devil and not give him any place in our lives, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Family, strength. The strength that we get when we resist the devil, hallelujah, is peace on the inside. When we resist the devil, the strength that we see is holding it on the outside. And again, proclaim that there is purpose in the pain. God knows when people aren't treating us right, but there's purpose in the pain. God knows that a lot of times we're giving more than we get, but there is purpose in the pain. God knows when people have done us wrong, but there is purpose in the pain, such that we can forgive those who have trespassed against us. And thank our Father who has forgiven us for our trespasses against him. When Jesus was on the cross, he was bleeding out as an innocent man, a Palestinian Hebrew who didn't look like a Roman soldier and a Roman leadership and a Roman people. When Jesus was on the cross, being made mockery, hallelujah, by his own people, hallelujah, when he was being made mockery of by a dead church, hallelujah, who was saying, oh, you save others now, save yourself. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, hallelujah, and was ridiculed by the Roman popo, hallelujah, who thought it was ignorant to believe in his kinship. But we can hear him saying it late, hallelujah, in the 11th hour. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And I believe this morning that the Lord Jesus is still crying out. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for me and for you and for all of us. And saying, hallelujah, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Lord. for they know not what they do. And yet, as we continue to fight forward unto peace and holiness, we see that there is purpose in the pain as we think about what Christ experienced on the cross that yields unto us. The peaceful fruit of righteousness that we have as the children of God by faith. And now we are justified, which means that we are declared not guilty. We are declared not guilty. It ain't that we are innocent. It ain't that we didn't break the law. It ain't that we were in contradiction to the perfect will of God. It just means, hallelujah, that we have been declared not guilty. Because we have been declared not guilty, hallelujah, because of what Christ did on the cross, we are not responsible, hallelujah, oh God, for the payment of sin. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus that the righteousness of Christ is deposited into our grace account. Thank God that we can now walk in the newness of life and in the beauty of holiness. Thank God that we can run this race with patience unto peace and sanctification from those things that would hinder us and those historical limitations. Oh, God, the miseducation of the saints and the miseducation of the so-called Negro that destroy and defile the quality of our lives that he intends for us to enjoy with pleasure and joy unspeakable. Thank God that we are called this morning to fight forward unto. We got somewhere we need to go, y'all. We're fighting unto peace and fighting forward unto holiness. And let me close. Jesus never promised us a life free from trouble. But this is what he told us to do, to have a heart free from trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In me. I want you to think about that today and the days to come. Believe also in me. Now, I'm not talking about Abraham. I'm talking about the person of Jesus Christ. Believe also in the person. The Lord Jesus. We have not been called to believe in a political system or a financial system or a religious system or a theological system or an educational system. We're not called to believe in the American dream. We're called to believe on the person Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So family, and to those who are under the sound of God's voice, if you are seeking peace today, won't you come? Jesus Christ right now is in our presence, and he's standing at the door. He's standing at the door of our hearts, and he's standing at the door of our minds. He's knocking gently and asking us whether we would just invite him in. and vitamins. Let us pray. Our Father, who reigns in heaven, as we continue with one accord in prayer and supplication, as brothers and sisters, as leaders and servant leaders, make it rain up in here. Make it rain up in here. By grace and through faith, we declare that the Logos is forever true, and that you are.